identify each of you and then the people know who they want to talk to. Okay. All right. You can just say your name, spelling of your name, and who you represent, and then people know who they're talking to.
Tony Smith, TONYSMITH, Superintendent, Oakland Unified School District.
Woo!
Yahoo!
I'm Ken Wilson, and I am currently one of our youth at Youth Horizon.
Letty!
The center has changed in my life.
Last name, Letty?
Wilson, WILSON. And I'm Sandra Witt, WITT, and with the Alameda County Public Health Department Deputy Director.
Ron Dellums, Mayor of Oakland, DELLUMS.
Dr. Tony Eisen, Senior Vice President, California Endowment.
Welcome. Deputy Chief Probation Officer Bonita Vinson, BIESOA.
Anthony Batts, BATTS, Chief of Police, Oakland Police.
Hey. Yeah.
Alice Simmons, OLISSIMMONS, Executive Director, Youth Uprising.
Dorcas Churchwell, CHURCHWELL, Youth Staff Member.
Dan Lindheim, LINDHEIM, City Administrator.
Dan Bogan, former Chair, California Endowment, BOGGAN.
Any questions?
Yeah, Chief Batch, I wonder if you could check out the mic.
Yeah.
What did the AG tell you in terms of federal resources that he could make available?
Well, it's not so much what he told us, is he came here to listen. And what he did, he was very polite and listened to some of the things that we were doing. And what we shared with him was the collaborations that we had as a city, as the private-public entities come together and work together to make a difference. We talked about the successes here of Youth Uprising and how we deal with prevention and intervention, and how police are a part of that by building those relationships with the youth, so we're not just dealing with support. What I shared with him is that I have a sense of urgency in the city. I said the rate of crime here needs to be reduced so we can have investments into the city and so the city can grow. He agreed with that and he listened to that.
What did you ask him for?
I did. And I won't go into that too much in detail. That's something that he has to take back. But I am looking for resources to deal with suppression-based related things. I'm also looking for resources for investment for prevention and intervention, growing programs like our OK program, mentoring program. But we're also looking for the hue and cry of those agencies that work under him, which could be the FBI, Drug Enforcement Administration, and Alcohol, Tobacco, Drugs.
And how did he seem to react to this?
Oh, he was very receptive, very open, and I think he wants to help.
I'd make one quick response to that. If you recall the COPS program that came about as part of the stimulus effort was slightly over $1 billion. That program was over-solicited, over 8-1. For $1 billion, there was about $8.2 billion in grants. So that $1 billion was inadequate from the very, very beginning. Even in that context, Oakland received the largest COP grant of any city in the entire United States based on the competence and capability and collaboration of many people, some of whom are standing right here. One of the things that did resonate, among many things that resonated with the Attorney General today, was a comment made by Dan Lindheim, which was, if you look at Oakland and other cities up and down the state who are facing these tremendous economic downturns, which have resulted in deficits in the general fund, cities are having to decide whether they lay off large numbers of police officers because that's a high budget item, or whether they lay off people and cut programs that are vitally important in the intervention and prevention part of our strategy. What did resonate with him was the idea that if this federal government funded efforts to allow the police officers to not have to be cut, that then would not place cities in a place where they end up cutting vital programs that are part of the prevention and intervention public safety strategy. That resonated with him. So I have a feeling that they're going to go back and talk about how do we revitalize a COPS program that expands the dollars so that cities could access that leaving other revenues for other much more important programs. That point did resonate well.
I want to ask a youth a question.
Yes.
Either Nettie or Marcus. The question would be, one, did the issue of police brutality or police mistrust come up? And were you satisfied with the solutions that were being talked about in terms of solving crime? And did you all even offer solutions yourselves?
Yes, them even taking into consideration to listen to us, that was a step in itself. We did not discuss any police brutality or any of that. Yes, there is some there, but when it comes to youth uprising, there is none of that. We have help, we have support. So, and how he took in everything he said, I believe honestly that we're going to be helped. And there is going to be a difference made. And everybody, and all we being youth, they care more than we thought they did. And we know that from this meeting.
Is the idea like Code 33 with the police, like getting to know each other, like getting to know us as youth, instead of like profiling, like, well, he has like me, I have dreads and I get profiled a lot. So it's like he has dreads, so he's doing this, he's doing that. But them not knowing that I'm working, like at Youth Uprising, they'll like come to me and, hey, what you doing? And we search you, and do you have drugs, or do you have a gun, or anything like that. It's like Code 33, when we do that, it's like probably, it'll probably be better for us youth than like
walking around. What's Code 33?
Code 33 is like, I'm not a reading about it, it's about police trying to like get to know us as you and us getting to know police, like what their problems is, what they've been through, and what we've been through, and what our problem is, like putting it together and trying to like figure out how we can just stop like racial profiling and stuff like stop police brutality, like, you know, how like the police will like approach me as like, how you doing there, man? What are you doing? Where are you going? Then have you been like, you with uprising? Have you? Are you doing that? Are you working or anything like that? Instead of just like, yeah, we can just approach people, how you doing, sir? How you doing? I was working and everything. Instead of us being like, well, he's a cop, he didn't really worry about what he's doing. We're just doing stuff.
Marcus and Antoinette, how do you feel about what the media can do to present good news about what the youth is doing?
The media should do more, because since one can say so much about what's going on, then they should let people know. Maybe our voice isn't being heard. The media has all of the power. The media has all of the power to put it out there further than just your ears. It needs to be seen by more people. The media has the power to go across states, across cities, across seas, everything. So the media has a lot of power. Now that the media knows that, it's obvious from you're asking the question, I think they should do a little bit more, therefore.
Wonderful. Good News in Oakland is a national model. Good News in Oakland is a national model to present all good news across America. What do you guys think about bad news and how it's presented and the impact good news would have?
Bad news is like, people like come here to Oakland and see like everything's bad news. It's like if you really like pay attention to the stuff that we do, like at Youth Uprising, we all like a family in here right now. Like with our media, if your media like, you know, cooperate with our media and come up here and see everything that we do, all the bad news wouldn't even be bad news. Like, it would be just good news, basically.
And it's not just Oakland. Crime happens everywhere. They're taking away funding everywhere. My other home is in Manteca. They took away the bus route. Now you have to walk a mile to get to school. So it's not just Oakland. It's just we're trying harder to do more about it so people are seeing more. I think, personally, that the media, you guys know what you can do. You guys know that Oakland is supposed to be so bad now that you know, and now that you see the good. Let it be known that there is good, because yes, we're losing people, but that's everywhere. Everybody dies. Oakland's just dying as a whole a little bit faster. We care more about each other. That's one thing why so much being noticed, because we care more about each other than other cities do about each other.
And Deputy Probation, if you could step in, please. What can you comment on about how good news can impact violence prevention?
Well, I believe that the young people spoke to that issue most effectively, that there's a lot that's very positive that's happening, certainly on the end of probation in terms of rehabilitative services, and focusing on the things that are most important, keeping young people out of state prison. Probation is an opportunity to keep people from going to prison. And so we need the funding to come in. We were able to talk to the Attorney General about that. We need the funding to come in so that that really is prevention in a way, because if we can prevent people from going further into the system, then we're successful.
Chief Bath, can you talk about what you're hoping to get out of the Code 33 program?
I think doing this job is more, and when you talk about police, people have a tendency to deal with just suppression and focusing on suppression. What we're looking to do is establish a relationship. What we're looking to do is extend our hands, and I think from my part of being the police chief, to ensure that police officers come to this facility, work with you, open to you, and you have to applaud these young people that have come up here.
Yeah.
Articulate, intelligent, back on both sides from the perspective of the youth and perspective of law enforcement, that we're all people. We're all rolling in the same direction. And I think everyone wants the same thing, is to live in a very safe environment.
Chief Betts, can you or Mayor Devlin's address the situation around the gang injunction, where you all are leaning on that, and how that plays in with balancing suppression with other things?
Sure. Injunctions are probably something that's unique to Northern California. They are not unique to Southern California, where I come from. They're there to do, you peel back some of the mythology that goes with an injunction. There is nothing in an injunction that is not already in law. What we're doing is identifying several people who have a history of being violent in the neighborhood and giving back the civil rights of the citizens who live there so their kids can walk to school, can walk to a store without being shot, killed, and murdered, and enjoy their neighborhood. The injunction is just there to identify those who, 1% of that community, who's causing harm to that community, and that's the purpose of the injunction.
I'll just speak very briefly to the issue that you raised with balance. It's important to underscore that this community came together across all the lines, all the stakeholders, public and private, and came up with a public safety strategy that we refer to as the PIES strategy, P-I-E-S, prevention, intervention, enforcement, and sustainability. So we have embraced a balanced effort. To go back to your point, what we tend to see more often than not is the enforcement side, or we talk about young people as the problem and not the solution. I think it's important for the media to begin to look much more extensively into the prevention efforts, the intervention efforts, and the sustainability efforts that we're engaged in. This day of if it bleeds, it leads is inappropriate and a gross distortion of what becomes our community. And I think it's important for people to understand that this is a living, breathing organism called the city. These are real people with real issues and real problems, and we've got to go beneath the sensationalism to really talk. Look at this, look at these brilliant people. I'm sitting here this morning, I'm impressed with you. You have an incredibly conceptual mind, and you think with lightning speed, and everything flows brilliantly. Why isn't she out there? Why isn't she and this young brother an example of what it is? But we talk about the dangerous people so that we engage in the stereotyping and it continues to flow forward. The press can play a very important role. Get beyond the violence and understand that this is a real community that's trying to uplift itself. And then you start to see the beauty of this community in ways that people have never seen before.
Can you tell us what you're doing to make the schools more safer, more engaging for people, for young people to stay in school and feel like they're welcome there?
Absolutely. I think one of the keys to that is the restorative justice policy that was just youth-led and board-adopted. We've really decided that the frame here is to connect and heal relationships. Historically, school discipline has been very much about you broke a rule, therefore you need to be punished, and not exploring the rupture in relationships. And so what we've said as an organization is that we need to both teach and understand that we've broken a relationship, we've injured this relationship between each other and our entire community. So we need to train the skills and talk about how you do classroom meetings, talk about what's going on, but also do restorative circles. So inside of schools, we begin to create a culture of calm and peace that will influence the neighborhood. And so we've said we need to take more responsibility for leading the way around restorative justice, working in partnership with community-based organizations to have the same language
and talk about Oakland being a city of restorative justice, that we need to do a heck of a lot of healing, and that we need to teach and learn our way out of this crisis, not police our way, and learn how to do policing together. So restorative justice is really at the heart of it.
Thank you all for coming. Thanks.